top of the hour.
Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Monday, March 25th, 2024. I am Richie Farrell. In the headlines, former District Education Officer Arundel Thomas is calling for proper electoral reform in Dominica and condemns efforts by the DLP regime to pervert the sacred process of democratic elections. St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew, who is now chairman of the RSS Council of Ministers, says diplomacy and dialogue will continue to be used to peacefully resolve conflicts in the region.
Only on Q90.
And Russia charged four men it claims attacked a Moscow concert hall and killed at least 137 people. They were brought to court and charged with terrorism, but appeared beaten, and one was brought in a wheelchair. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. Details coming up.
On the hour news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only.
March Madness! Courts is back by popular demand. That's right. We heard you loud and clear. Get crazy deals of up to 70% off across the store. Plus, to Saturday 23rd March, up to 70% off across the store. No cash, no worries. You can pay later with Ready Finance. So if you missed it for the first time, don't miss it this time around. Special conditions apply. Offer ends March 23rd, 2024.
Welcome back. Former District Education Officer Arundel Thomas is calling for proper electoral reform in Dominica. Speaking on the Concerned Citizens Movement program on 22nd March 2024, he alleged that Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit and other key members of his administration have perverted the sacred process of democratic elections in the country by controlling the majority on the Electoral Commission and by dissolving the IPO when it tried to do its work.
Citizens have been given the runaround on electoral reform. Now it's time to block obstructionists fighting to retain their election-stealing legacy. Deploying malicious machinations and delay tactics, the antagonists and adversaries of development have sought to demolish the overriding value of just and fair electoral reform. Elections are one of the most important and integral aspects of politics within our democratic system of governance. True democracy can function effectively only when election to positions of power is held in a free and fair manner and environment. March 27, 2024 will mark the 16th anniversary of the first fatal, brutal shot fired on electoral reform. In an email dated 27th of March 2008, Senior Counsel Anthony Astafan instructed Skerrit, quote, "There is madness going on at the Electoral Commission. Calling Richard Charles, calling Kondwani Williams, these guys are talking about reforms to include ID cards for voting and complete re-registration of voters. Such reforms," he said, "will undermine your ministry, Roosevelt's re-election legacy," unquote. What brutally unpatriotic remarks from a person who ought to know and do and say better.
Mr. Thomas claims the Prime Minister's obsession with re-election is closely linked to his fast rise to wealth over the past 16 years, making reference to the manipulative use of the Citizenship by Investment program.
These 16 years of obstructionist behavior regarding electoral reform coincide with 16 years of obsession with a model of economic policy founded on the sale of passports. The two are clearly linked and inseparable. First, government policy of global citizenship was aimed at accumulating a critical mass of foreigners with the privilege of participating in Dominica's elections, thus giving the incumbent an unfair advantage. Second, the policy of selling passports heralded the start of a governance model to convert a national asset, or passports, into personal property and wealth for the privileged few. As a peddling of this asset grinds to the end of its useful life, SPAS passports revenues may be earmarked to reimburse financiers engaged in front-loading money for land grabbing. However, whether by supernatural force or inevitable outcome, Roosevelt's Skerritt's economic model based on the sale of passports is doomed to fail.
You've just heard statements from former education officer Arundel Thomas. The Convent High School emerged victorious in the 9th annual National Secondary School Literacy Quiz competition hosted by the Rotary Club of Dominica. The event featured the 6 finalist schools, namely the Dominica Grammar School, the St. Mary's Academy, the Orion Academy, the Castle Bruce Secondary School, the Northeast Comprehensive School, and the Convent High School. The competition was designed to promote youth engagement in global literacy endeavors while also nurturing intellectual curiosity, reinforcing learning, and cultivating a passion for reading.
We have Sari Rui and Faith John Finn. The Castlebrook Secondary School team, come forward, please. The Castlebrook Secondary School team, come forward, please. And the Northeast Comprehensive, the third place winners, the Dominica Grammar School. I'm calling our second place winners, the St. Mary's Academy winners, the Convent. They will also receive, for their school, will also receive $10 of paid courtesy apparel, also sponsored by the Central Cooperative Credit Union Limited.
The president of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, calls upon the appointed members of public, independent, statutory institutions and offices such as the DPP, Electoral Commission, Integrity in Public Office, the Chief of Police, the Office of the President and the Financial Services Unit to recommit their will to the Constitution of Dominica and its people and not to the politicians who appoint them to these positions. Linton added that appointed public officers and professionals must stop serving the Prime Minister. Instead, they must serve the state. Their loyalty must be to Dominica and must execute their duties as required by the Constitution.
These excesses that we see from the Prime Minister, from the hold of the office of Prime Minister, that are in violation of the Constitution, there are supposed to be checks and balances in the system to deal with them. What happens is that the other persons who are responsible for exercising those checks and balances find themselves beholden to the same person who the Constitution gave authority to appoint them. And there's this ugly thing in our democracy where people believe an appointment from the office of Prime Minister means that regardless of what the responsibility the Constitution expects you to discharge, you are serving not the state, but you are serving the person who appointed you, meaning the Prime Minister.
So whom did they give oath to?
The oath is to serve, to honor and preserve the Constitution. In practice, they take the oath
and they do mean
and
it.
They forget about it. And now they start working for the Prime Minister. That's not so much the Prime Minister's fault totally. It's also the fault of the people who are willing to go along with that, as opposed to serving the state.
President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton. Acting Tourism Minister Shakira Lockhart-Hippolyte stated that since its establishment in 2010, the Jazz and Creole Festival has epitomized a harmonious blend of Dominican culture, serving as a platform to showcase the island's rich heritage. She emphasizes that the festival transcends beyond a mere music festival, evolving into a cultural rendezvous. Lockhart-Hippolyte further notes that each preceding event leading up to the main activity from April 28th to May 6, 2024, embodies the theme, Rhythm of the Nature Isle.
Since its inception in 2010, the Dominica Jazz and Creole Festival has been a symphony of cultural harmony, showcasing our island's rich heritage. Held at the scenic venue of Fort Shirley, this festival transcends being simply a musical event. It is a cultural rendezvous, inviting one and all to experience our music, our cuisine, and our fashion, amplified over a week of festivity and community engagement. Prepare to be immersed in the scenic grandeur of Fort Shirley for our main stage, surrounded by a constellation of fringe events across diverse venues. This year's festivities commences on Sunday, April 28th, and culminates on Monday, May 6, 2024, with the main stage event on Sunday, May 5th. Each event offers a rich palette of experiences that embody our theme, Rhythms of the Nature Isle. As we delve into the heart of our event details, I would like to highlight the theme for this year's fashion component at the Jazz and Creole Festival, Creole Fusion. This theme is a celebration, an invitation to blend the rich traditions of Creole culture and the iconic Madras fabric with a festive flair and a modern twist.
Lokat Hippolyte emphasized that the Ministry of Tourism aims for the country's tourism sector to leverage the Jazz and Creole Festival to substantially contribute to the goal of attracting 50,000 stayover visitors by 2030.
In Dominica, as we gear up for this highly anticipated event, let us visualize a week where every day offers a new discovery, highlighting the best of Dominican culture, presented through our music, art, fashion, and flavors. This culmination of festivities intend to allow all patrons to indulge in the authentic essence of Dominica in every component. Furthermore, our goal for tourism is to allow the festival to serve as a lighthouse, attracting visitors from across the globe to our shores, contributing significantly to our vision of welcoming 500,000 stayover visitors by 2030. It's a cultural magnet, drawing in guests from the French West Indies, the USA, and beyond, creating a stream of global connections. This surge in visitors, evident from last year's increased arrivals, underscores the festival's pivotal role in amplifying our tourism landscape. Nonetheless, the festival is a testament to our cultural renaissance in our approaches to tourism.
And that was Acting Minister of Tourism Shakira Lokat Hippolyte. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Acting Minister of Health Cassandra Williams addressed attendees at the annual general meeting of the Dominica Cancer Society over the weekend, where she underscored the concerning trend of rising cancer-related deaths on the island. Williams emphasized the need for vigilance as Dominica appears to be experiencing an increase in both cancer diagnosis and fatalities.
In Dominica in 2020 and in 2021, we recorded 140 cancer-related deaths. In 2022, 136 such deaths. It is heartbreaking to think that so many families lost loved ones to this disease. But what would be truly heartbreaking, though, is if one single Dominican would have cancer and not know because they were unable to access basic preventative care, from routine checkups to mammograms to pap smears to prostate exams. That would be dreadfully unacceptable. Let that not be the reason why someone goes undiagnosed. And this is why we have ensured as a government and a ministry that even at the primary healthcare level, everyone has access to basic tests and consultations. And when referrals are needed for treatment and management, be it on island or abroad, we have provided the necessary support.
Acting Minister of Health Cassandra Williams. Meantime, the President of the Dominica Cancer Society, Yvonne Alexander, expressed ongoing concern about the frequency of cancer-related deaths among younger individuals, indicating a potential issue with late detection.
Yes, the Dominica Cancer Society continue to enjoy growing visibility as well and support, and for this we are grateful. But we continue to hope that this growing visibility equates to many more individuals taking responsibility for and wellness. We continue to be concerned about what appears to be an increase in cancer mortality among a younger age group, suggesting the possibility of late detection. We are more aware of the risk factors for cancer, especially those that are most prevalent in Dominica: breast and cervical cancer for women, colon cancer as well. Get to know your family history. Get tested and screened and advised by your healthcare provider so that in the unlikely event that you're diagnosed, it will be early detection. We speak from experience when we say that. Davis told you he's a survivor. I am a survivor. Early, more regular public sensitization and screening at our local health centers in the various health districts, particularly for the more prevalent cancers.
President of the Dominica Cancer Society, Yvonne Alexander. Following a successful dialogue at Roads Americas in Bogota, Colombia, the Ministry of Tourism says it is pleased to announce that American Airlines will be resuming its daily service on the Miami-Dominica route for both the summer and winter seasons of 2024. Communications and Public Relations Specialist of Discover Dominica Authority, Monel Alexis, said, open quote, "This expansion, driven by market demand and customer input, aims to provide an enhanced travel experience with greater convenience and flexibility," end quote.
Importantly, this service increase is also anticipated to bring significant benefits to hoteliers, fostering a more robust tourism economy through increased visitor numbers and occupancy rates. American Airlines will augment its service from 3 weekly flights to daily flights between Miami International Airport and Douglas Charles Airport, starting from June 5th to August 5th, 2024, and then from November 5th, 2024 to March 31st, 2025. This enhancement in flight frequency will afford passengers a wider array of travel options, significantly reducing layover times and offering more desirable departure schedules. The introduction of daily flights during the winter seasons is especially beneficial to hoteliers and the broader hospitality sector in Dominica. This strategic move is expected to drive increased tourism during this peak period, supporting the local economy by boosting local bookings and stimulating growth in related service industries.
Communications and Public Relations Specialist at the Discover Dominica Authority, Monel Alexis. Former IMF financial economist and leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontein, is of the view that the DLP regime in office has not effectively utilized the revenues generated through the Citizenship by Investment program for the development of the local economy or in the best interest of Dominicans at home and in the diaspora, resulting in the stagnation of the country's economy and its main sectors like agriculture and agribusiness. Dr. Fontein drew attention to insights from the recent IMF country report indicating anticipated growth in visitor stayovers as a notable aspect for economic development, expressing interest in this projected avenue for growth for the country.
We have not been able to use the resources of the CBI program to build Dominica. So we have a situation where our economy is stagnating. When I look at the report, our report talks about the growth that's going to come from stayover visitors. It's interesting that the IMF is pinning its growth on stayover visitors, because obviously they were sold that lie by the government that our stayover is going to increase to 500,000. Yeah, if you move from 80,000 to 500,000, that's a very significant growth. If you read the report, that's exactly what it says. It says that growth will be underpinned by the stayover visitors. Tourism is going to get a major boost this year. But that is what the government is telling them. But what is the reality on the ground? Are we seeing any signs that tourism is going to be on the increase? There is nothing about agriculture.
Dr. Fontein further highlighted the absence of the agricultural sector in the IMF report, emphasizing that significant revenue growth could be achieved through proper investments into that sector.
There was nothing absolutely about agriculture, and agriculture could bring the kind of monies. You know, in 2016 in Dominica, I got a title that I wore very, very proudly by one of the ministers, referring to me as a huckster, and that I wore very, very, you know, proudly, because that huckster was bringing in about $50,000 every week into the communities of Grand Fond River Syrie from the export of agriculture produce to Martinique. So it was okay. I was happy to be called that, because I could go back to the shops and I could be given a drink. I could be offered a beer, offered a drink by the individuals who were making the money, because they were beginning to see the money coming in. You know, they were beginning to see. I mean, so it was okay for me. I was benefiting from it, you know, directly. So that was fine. But I'm saying that to say that we, in agriculture, the kind of opportunities there are, okay, that was just a very small operation, you know, and I could never get enough produce. I could never get enough of the what was being required at this time.
Former IMF financial economist and United Workers Party leader, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. In other news, Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis, Dr. Terence Drew, who this week assumed the chairmanship of the Regional Security System Council of Ministers, stated that the Caribbean Community CARICOM will continue to employ diplomacy and dialogue when attempting to resolve regional disputes. Open quote. As we continue to work in the region for security and we work to maintain this region as a zone of peace, I want to say that the CARICOM region has employed diplomacy and dialogue to resolve significant border disputes in its efforts to prevent conflict or war. I want to stress that CARICOM will continue to use this as our most significant strategy and tactic to maintain our region as a zone of peace, end quote, Dr. Drew stated. Drew made the statement at the opening session of the RSS Council of Ministers meeting in the Republic of Guyana on March 21, 2024. Prime Minister Drew highlighted the effectiveness of this strategy in recent developments. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Russia has charged four men, it says, attacked a Moscow concert hall and killed at least 137 people. All four appeared to have been beaten, and one was brought to court in a wheelchair. They were charged with committing an act of terrorism. The Islamic State group ISIS said it carried out Friday's outrage at Crocus City Hall and posted video evidence. Russian officials have claimed, without evidence, Ukrainian involvement. Kyiv says the claim is absurd.
Bring back the death penalty, Yevgeny says, for terrorists, for sure. This is how the attack had begun, with gunmen in the foyer and desperate attempts to take cover. The attackers moved on to the auditorium. By the end of this, more than 130 people were dead. Four suspects have been arrested. The suspected gunmen appeared in court. Russia claims they'd been caught fleeing to Ukraine and had contacts there. Kyiv fiercely denies any link to the attack. The Islamic State group says it was behind the shooting. And on this day of mourning, silent prayers from a somber-looking President Putin. The Kremlin says he lit a candle for the victims in church at his country estate. And Russia is praying that there will be no more attacks. If there are, that will test people's faith in the president.
That's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Former District Education Officer Arundel Thomas is calling for proper electoral reform in Dominica and condemns efforts by the DLP regime to pervert the sacred process of democratic elections. St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew, who is now chairman of the RSS Council of Ministers, says diplomacy and dialogue will continue to be used to peacefully resolve conflicts in the Caribbean region. And Russia charged four men. It claims attacked a Moscow concert hall and killed at least 137 people.
Wherever it happened.
They were brought to court and charged with terrorism, but appeared beaten, and one was brought in a wheelchair.
Big station.
The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Court Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Richie Farrell.